you know, we can try to do things that are trendy, or we could try to do things that maybe are popular. We could try to have our own methods, our own ideas. But the fact of the matter is, what we're going to do here, we are going to build our lives on the Word of God. It is just that simple. Amen. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And nothing was made that was made that wasn't made without the Word of God. Amen. It says in that light, and of course, that light coming from the Word, it says it shined in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. And so everything in this world that is dark, this Word can undo, can overcome, can go through. Amen. Praise the Lord. And so the vision of Family Church here is very simple: to teach the Word, to get the Word dwelling richly within you. And from there, of course, the Spirit of God can take hold of that and manifest Himself in your life. Amen. Praise the Lord. Everything that God wants to do starts with the Word. Amen. Turn with me in your Bibles. Go over to Hebrews chapter 10. And tonight, I'm going to call this message, How to Get Your Prayers Answered Every Time. Every time. Say, Pastor, that's a bold statement. Every single time. Well, there is a way. And you know what? When I say this, we don't say it in arrogance or anything like that. But I don't know about you, but I believe in the God that hears our prayers. I believe that He listens. I believe that God, you know, He says right there in His Word, He hastens to perform His Word. He wants to show Himself strong on behalf of those whose hearts are perfect towards Him. He is a sun and a shield. Grace and glory will He give. No good thing will He withhold from those that walk uprightly. Amen. God is not withholding. God is a God who answers prayer. He's the one looking, you know, to move on our behalf. And so many times, if we're not careful, we think we're trying to pry something out of God's hands. I'm here to tell you, He longs to answer your prayers. He loves to answer your prayers. Jesus said over there in John chapter 15, He says, Herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit. So when God moves on your life, it brings Him glory. When God helps you, it brings Him glory. When He heals you, it brings Him glory. Amen. When He provides for you, it brings Him glory. Amen. And so I don't believe, you know, in unanswered prayer, so to speak. I believe that the Scripture makes it very clear what the Lord is looking for so that He can answer our prayers every time we pray. Amen. Now, it doesn't mean it always shows up when we want it to. It doesn't mean that God answers greedy prayers or self-motivated prayers, meaning just trying to, you know, be greedy or trying to get something that's just our will or something like that. But He gave us His will. He gave us His Word. And when we pray according to His will, the Bible says that He hears us. And it says, and this is the confidence that we have before Him, that if He hears us, we know that He grants the petitions that we ask of Him. Amen. That's 1 John 5:14, by the way. Go to Hebrews chapter 10. We're going to talk about how to get your prayers answered every time. And I know somebody is thinking here tonight, well, man, now that we've done all this extra stuff in service, well, this service is going to go real late here tonight. Oh, well, we're going to, you know, be very cognizant of that. So we're going to jump right to it. Amen. Go to Hebrews chapter 10. We're going to start in verse 12. We were over here last week, and I was talking about stop struggling with unworthiness. We talked about that last week. Many Christians deal with us. They struggle with the idea of being worthy, or more like unworthy, before God. Many Christians, they feel unworthy. Many Christians have been taught to feel unworthy before God. Many denominations, religious thinking and stuff has taught us throughout the years that God wants us to come to Him and just proclaim how unworthy we are. Well, in and of ourselves, can we make sure we get this clear, right? In and of ourselves, we were unworthy. In and of ourselves, we would be unworthy, but we're not of ourselves anymore. If you've made Jesus Christ your Lord and Savior, you're not by yourself. You're not only human. He lives where, everybody? In you. Jesus said over there in Luke 17, 21, he said, for the kingdom of God will be where, everyone? Within you. He said in John chapter 14, verse 20, 21, 23, he said, for I shall be where? In you. The Father shall be where? In you. The Holy Spirit shall be where? In you. We remember Colossians 1:27. It says, this is the great mystery that God sought to unveil to the world, which was what? Christ in you, the hope of glory. What has God always wanted? He wants to live in you. How many of you made Jesus your Lord and Savior? Well, guess where the Lord is? He's in you. Amen. And we're been talking about that. Now go over there to Hebrews chapter 10. We're going to read starting in verse 12. Tonight we're going to talk about how to get your prayers answered. And we're just going to start though by dealing a little bit more with this idea of being unworthy before God. Folks, it's dangerous if we go on, if we proceed to believe as Christians. Now somebody who's never made Jesus their Lord and Savior is unworthy before God, all right? But if you make Jesus your Lord and Savior and you're following him, the scripture says that his blood has washed you, cleansed you, and made you worthy to confidently stand before God. Amen. Praise the Lord. We're going to show you one such passage here in the scripture. And again, it's not because we did it on our own. It's not because we can get there by ourselves, but we're not doing anything by ourselves anymore. The blood of Jesus is working on our behalf. Go to Hebrews 10:12. And now we're going to read down through verse 18. These first seven verses here is talking about what Christ did for us. Amen. Through his death, burial, and resurrection. And it says, but this man, talking about Jesus, but this Jesus Christ, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, Jesus sat down on the right hand of God. How many of you believe that here tonight? I believe that. And then it says, from henceforth, from that moment forward, Jesus was expecting until his enemies be made his footstool. How many of you know that'll come to pass? Every single bit of it. Verse 14, it says, for by one offering on the cross when he was crucified, Jesus has what? Perfected forever them that are sanctified. Whoa! Who are them that are sanctified? Boy, you feel how nervous everyone feels? Feel how nervous? Wait a minute, did the Bible just call you perfect? Well, in a manner of speaking, it did. Now, let's make sure we qualify that statement. Are you perfect in your flesh? No. Are you perfect in your mind? No. But has he, in the eyes of God, through the washing and the cleansing of the blood of the Lamb, does he see you as perfected and sanctified? Yes. This isn't our viewpoint. This isn't the world's viewpoint. This isn't the flesh's feelings or the flesh's viewpoint. In the eyes of God, if you have been cleansed and sanctified, the word sanctified means what, everybody? It means set apart. You have been perfected or washed or cleansed in the sight of God. Even in your faults, even when you have failed, even when you made mistakes as a Christian, but you were sincere and tender to keep following him, to confess your sin, to repent and get things right, God never took away that sanctification. He did not take away that washing of the blood of the Lamb. For by one offering of Christ on the cross, he perfected you in your spirit, and he set you apart by the blood of the Lamb. That's how God sees you. So when we say how unworthy we are, it's actually not in agreement with the Bible. Not because you made yourself worthy. Not because I make myself worthy. I could, you know, the Bible says our righteousness is but filthy rags before God, right? Meaning in our own attempts, in our own efforts. But it wasn't our effort that did this for us. It was Jesus. Amen. Aren't you glad for the blood of the Lamb? See, if we continue on believing that we are unworthy, you're going to see in the Bible tonight, it's going to be very hard for God to move in your life. Oh boy, this stuff It really challenges a lot of misconceptions that people have. We just kind of grew up just thinking, well, I'm supposed to go to God and tell him how unworthy I am. No, you're not. No, you're not. You're going to see this in the Word. God does not want to hear how unworthy you are. He does not. See how quiet it gets when you say that? Because people hear that and they think that, you know, a preacher like me is telling you that, oh, you're perfect. Like you did it on your own. You should just stand there and be arrogant before God. Of course not. We were nothing without him. Let's keep on reading because it gets better. For by one offering, Jesus perfected forever, forever in God's sight. He has washed you and cleansed you. It makes people nervous. Look at verse 15. I'll tell you what, though, this is what's, you know, we're going to get into this. It says, whereof the Holy Ghost also is a witness to us, for after that he had said before, this is the covenant. Look at verse 16. This is God speaking to us. This is the covenant that I will make with them after those days. After what days? After the days of Jesus' resurrection. After the days of his sacrifice. This is what God said he would do after the days of Jesus' sacrifice and resurrection, saith the Lord. He said, I will put my laws where? Into their hearts and in their minds. Of course, through the word of God, we have to be renewed in our minds. He says, I will write my ways in their hearts. Amen. Praise the Lord. Look at verse 17. It gets even better. It says, and their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more. Oh my goodness. If you did rotten things in the past, guess what? It's washed away by the blood of the Lamb. All those things that you know that you did that would make you feel unworthy are washed and cleansed. They're all gone. I could tell you about my past before Jesus. It was very rotten in a lot of ways, and I tell you what, it's washed and cleansed. I am not on the hook for that anymore. I am not, God doesn't even know who that person was. For if any man, women included, are in Christ, they are a what? A new creation, 100% new. God sees us that way, but the question is, when are we going to start seeing ourselves that way? Oh, a new creation. He says, I will remember your sins and your iniquities no more. God's not up there today thinking about your failures. God's not up there today thinking about your past. God's not up there thinking about your faults. Aren't you glad? Look at verse 18. It says, now where remission of these is, meaning the remission of all your sins, there is no more offering for sin, meaning the offering of Christ on the cross. His shed blood is enough to take care of all your sins forever. All right, now does this mean that we just say, well, oh great, all my sins are washed forever. I guess I'll just go out and just keep on sinning then. If we do that, that's what the scripture says, then you frustrate the grace. See, we should look at this wonderful gift and say, oh my goodness, if God is going to give me that, I don't want to mess that up. I want to live a life that would honor that wonderful gift that he's given to me. Notice this, these verses 12 through 18 that we just read. God, what was he doing? He was eliminating man's need for a sin consciousness. Meaning when people cling to a sense of unworthiness, God was eliminating that. All right, he was coming in and he said, I will remember your sins no more. You're not guilty of those things anymore. You've been given this freedom, to know that your sins are washed and cleansed. God was eliminating sin consciousness. He was eliminating man's need to cling to unworthiness. Because unworthiness is just another way of saying unwantedness. If we believe, if we keep saying to God, as Christians, as blood-bought, blood-washed Christians, if we keep saying how unworthy we are, that'd be a big problem. Because we know what the scripture says. What happens to those who are deemed unworthy one day? They're cast where? Into the lake of fire. If you're unworthy, you're going to hell. Do you know that? The scripture says that point blank. You know, if you're unworthy. But the reason why God was trying to take away, trying to get us to understand, your sins are washed. They're cleansed. He's trying to get away, cleanse us from a sin consciousness, meaning the feeling of always feeling unworthy and having no confidence before God. But if we were truly unworthy, that would mean we are unwanted. But we got to ask ourselves, through Christ, are you unwanted? No. Are you undesired by God? Are you rejected in Christ? No, you're not rejected. You're what? You're accepted. You're not undesirable to God. You are desired. You are not unwanted. You are very much wanted because he gave you Jesus to prove just how much he wants to be with you, just how much he wants to live in you. Amen. Praise the Lord. God was trying to make sure that man would get the revelation. God wants me. God has accepted me. God has washed away my sin consciousness. He has washed away my past. He will remember my sins no more. He has perfected me through the blood of Jesus Christ. He has set me apart. Doesn't mean that I can't make mistakes in my flesh. It doesn't mean we always think right. But in the eyes of God, he has washed you and cleansed you and told you, come on in and dwell in my presence. Yeah. Hallelujah. Look at verse 19. This is where we were last week, and this is why we were there. Look at verse 19. Having therefore brethren, do we have any brethren here tonight? Sisters included. Boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus. Now remember, this was a reference to the Holy of Holies back there in the temple. How many remember that? Remember that inner chamber? Where, remember, the veil kept everybody out? Remember where the Ark of the Covenant was, the presence of God, and God kept everyone out. And then when Jesus was crucified, in that moment that he died, what happened to that veil on the day of Jesus' death? Right? Right. It tore in half. God was saying, you are no longer separate from me. It wasn't stay out anymore. It was come on in. And he says, now therefore, brethren, Christians, you are to have what? Boldness to run into the Holy of Holies, which in those days, think about how sacrilegious that could have seemed. See, God was saying, I've now made you to stand confidently and worthy before my presence. This is what we have to understand. Notice you enter into the holiest. You enter into the presence of God by what, everybody? The blood of Jesus. Notice it wasn't because of your goodness. It wasn't your efforts. It wasn't your good deeds that got you in there. It was the blood of Jesus that got you in there. Amen. And now he's saying, brethren, you must run into God's presence with boldness. Boldness is the opposite of feeling unworthy. There's going to need to be a time where Christians get the revelation. The light bulb goes off on the inside and says, I'm worthy to stand before God. Not because of what I've done, but because I believe that the blood of Jesus was enough to take me beyond the veil. Look at verse 20. Notice what it says here. This is talking to Christians. It says, we're now brought into, this Holy of Holies, into God's presence. How many of you know we're not going into some temple over there in Jerusalem? This is a reference to where God sits today in the holy place of heaven. Amen. We go into his presence with a new and living way, meaning the old way is dead. The old way is dead, and the old way was based on what? Unworthiness. The Old Testament was designed to make everyone feel unwanted. So God could then give his son to take away he exposed the unworthiness of mankind. So he could then shed that blood so he can say, come on in, come on in. Everything about the Old Testament is unwanted, unworthy. But now in the New Testament, God is saying, You're wanted because I made you worthy. Not because going to church didn't make you worthy, right? Just taking communion or being water baptized didn't make you worthy. You know, these things are good. They're ordinances of the Word of God. But how many know it was the blood that took you beyond the veil? And where are you right now as far as God sees you? You're beyond the veil.
Yes.
And that's why we said last week, you don't have to try to get into God's presence. You're already in it.
Right.
You're already in it. Jesus said, "Lo, I'll be with you always." He said, "I will never leave you, never forsake you." Glory to God. Where is the Lord right now? He's in you. Greater is he that is where? In you. Amen. And now it says, now we enter into his presence in a new and living way. What was the verse before it? With boldness. Boldness. It takes boldness to go before God and say, "Father, I'm here by the blood of Jesus. That is how I know you hear me. And that is how I know every prayer will get answered." Oh boy, people get quiet. People get quiet. Praise the Lord. I'm going to help you. Tonight I'm going to give you the ABCs of getting your prayers answered. And literally, I didn't even plan on this. I didn't realize that my sermon literally had ABC. Three words that just happened to be right in that order. So there we go. We're going to get the ABCs of how to get our prayers answered. God does not want you clinging to the feeling of unworthiness. Because unworthiness is just another way of saying unwanted. If we are going to understand God, if we are going to hear his voice, we're going to have to know what he did through the blood of Jesus. Amen. We're going to have to know that he desires us. We're going to have to know that he wants to hear from us. See, what a lot of people, they don't realize is when they say, "Oh, I'm unworthy." Because that'd be like going before God and saying, "I'm ugly to you, God." Through the blood of Jesus, you are not ugly to him. Amen. You are not unwanted. You are not rejected. You are not undesirable. Are you here tonight?
Yeah.
Praise the Lord. We've got to go in through a new and living way. Praise God. If we're not careful, we will allow religion to teach us that we try to enter into God's presence with unworthiness. Go back up to verse 19 if you could. It says, we enter by what? The blood of Jesus. I don't know if you had this experience, but growing up, I was taught one thing that you did when you prayed is that you told God how unworthy you were. You know, and as a pastor, I've seen so many, hundreds of Christians throughout the years deal with this where they go before God and they say, "I'm so unworthy. Oh, Lord, I'm unworthy. I'm unworthy." And I understand what they're trying to do is they're trying to, produce humility, which is a good thing. Humility is very good. But how many of you know to go before God and can, as a Christian, wash in the blood of God, in the blood of Christ, and, confess unworthiness as a means of getting into his presence, that is not what brings you in. Are you here? You're going to have to be bold and believe God wants me to be in his presence. God made me to stand in his presence. And I know because it makes it sound like, oh, we're trying to boast of ourselves or it's some kind of humanistic thing. It's not. This is a bold new living way, what the New Testament talks about. Amen. We think to confess our unworthiness is humility, but it's actually an insult to the blood of Jesus Christ. It is an insult of what God has done for you and for me, and it is a complete lack of confidence in the blood of Jesus Christ to confess. Do you believe that Jesus' blood was strong enough to make you worthy?
Yes.
It was strong enough. Even if I feel unworthy, even when I acted unworthy, and at times, of course, we do. But I'm here to tell you, this is how God thinks. He thinks like his word. He wants you to boldly enter into his presence. In unworthiness, if you were unworthy, he could not let you in. In the Old Testament, when someone unworthy went in, they died. And now he says, the veil is torn. Come on in. You're washed. Hallelujah. This is going to help your prayer life. It'll help your faith big time. Amen. Boldness is the opposite of having a sin consciousness. Boldness is the opposite of feeling unworthy or unwanted. Amen. Praise the Lord. Now, real quickly, I'm just going to mention two things, and I'm going to give you the ABCs of getting your prayers answered, and I'm just going to move this along. You know, I've seen this. There's two major symptoms. Actually, I'll just reference some things out of the Bible. There's two major symptoms that the Bible talks about if we are feeling unworthy or if we're living a life of sin consciousness. There's two things that people will do, typically more than anything else, if they're feeling unworthy before God or if, you know, acting unworthy before God. Well, what was the first thing that Adam and Eve did the first moment they sinned and disobeyed God? What was the very first thing that they did in the Garden of Eden? Do you remember? Well, they went and they hid. The first thing that we tend to do if we live a life feeling unworthy before Christ is that we hide. We hide. And what I mean by that here tonight, if we're not careful, if we start just living a life, we just keep confessing how unworthy we are, all of a sudden we're going to be very tempted to hide from God. Because unworthiness has to hide from him. Unworthiness cannot stand in his presence. Are we getting a hold of this? And so, you know, the first thing that Adam and Eve did as soon as they felt shame or they felt unworthy, the first thing they did is hide. I'm going to say this, and this is just my opinion as a pastor. I believe that 90% or more of modern Christians are hiding at some level from God. I've seen this over and over. I don't mean they might not be completely hiding, but they feel like they don't pray enough. And so they get into a vicious cycle and they stop praying altogether. Or they don't feel like they're as holy as, you know, Sister Mega Faithful, you know, or a Brother Super Powerful. You know what I mean? They don't feel like they're as holy as a minister. They don't feel like they've done enough for God. They don't believe that they could pray like, you know, some minister on TV they saw. They start to feel like they're not good enough, or because of their mistakes or their faults or their failures, they can't pray. And so they stay away even more. And so they pray less and less. And then all of a sudden they get into a cycle where they're not praying at all. Oh, I've seen this as a pastor. A lot of Christians fall into that mode because they get trapped by a sense of unworthiness. Well, I made a mistake. I sinned before God, or I didn't do good enough, and all of a sudden they stay away from prayer. Listen, if you've sinned against God, we have. You know, 1 John 1:9, confess your sins. He'll cleanse you from all unrighteousness. Listen, if you miss it, get right with him. But that doesn't mean, you know, God's trying to keep you out just because you made a mistake. Get right back in there because you belong there. It was never based on your holiness to begin with. It was always based on the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen. Praise the Lord. Now, we don't take that and say, well, I'll just depend on the blood and I'll just go out and sin against God and I'll just do whatever I want. Well, that's wrong thinking too. But we're talking about if you want to grow in your personal relationship with your Heavenly Father, when you go before him, you stand there and say, Father, thank you for the blood. And because of this blood, you hear me. I can stand before you with confidence. Amen. I know that you hear every word. I believe because of my confidence in that blood, you are going to grant every single petition that I ask of you, as long as it's according to his word. Are you here tonight? Amen. Two major symptoms. Number one, Christians have a tendency to hide. They stay away. They feel intimidated when they pray. They feel like they have no ability or they don't know how. They feel like prayer is too complex. I'm going to just say something that might shock you. I truly believe that the modern day body of Christ has made prayer way too complex. There's a lot of man-made rules of how to pray, when to pray. This kind of prayer does this, that kind of prayer does that. We got to pray this way. This is how you say this. This is how you do that. And all of a sudden, people get so confounded with all of these rules, they stop praying. And I'm here to tell you, prayer is way easier than we realize. It is way easier to pray sincerely when we have the knowledge that God wants us to have. Amen. Don't hide from Him. Don't feel intimidated. Tonight, I'm going to give you the ABCs. People feel like they lack confidence. They feel like they're a failure. They feel like they haven't done this enough or that enough. They haven't volunteered enough. Or they stop tithing or something like that. All of a sudden, they fall into a vicious cycle. Should we obey God, everybody? Yes. But if you've missed it and you need to get back and you need to repent, get right with God and jump right back into His presence, because that same blood has made you able to stand before Him. Amen. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Stop hiding from God. Christians fall into a vicious cycle. They start feeling guilty for not praying, and that just keeps them stuck in a place of not praying. They feel like they lack confidence. They feel like they're unwanted before God. They get stuck in a place, and so they just stay there, and they just don't pray anymore. That's just the old way. That's the old dead way of a sin consciousness. Feeling unworthy, feeling unwanted. God never puts a feeling of unwantedness on you. Are you here? Talking about this makes me want to pray. It makes me want to pray. Because this is a new... Can we go to verse 20 again? It tells us we've got to come into His presence with a new and living way. We got to stop hiding. Stop hiding from God. Stop feeling like, you know, you're guilty. Oh, I missed this. I screwed up back here. You know, I didn't do enough. I didn't volunteer. I got rejected. Blah, 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 all this stuff. Wash all that away. Put it under the blood and go back into His presence with some confidence. The second symptom that people have a tendency to do when they're living a sin-conscious life, not only do they hide, and again, I believe 90% or more of Christians at some level feel like they're intimidated, or they don't pray, or they just don't fellowship with God because they feel like they've missed it or fall short. That's the devil wanting us to feel like we fall short. I'll tell you what, the devil's the one who has taken the biggest fall of them all. Amen. Hallelujah. So number one, they hide, but also what Christians will do when they feel like they're living a life of unworthiness is they work. What I mean by that is they work to try to make it up in other ways. They try to get into works. People that fall into works, and again, I think this is the vast minority of Christians. These Christians represent a much smaller percentage of believers because these people are typically very diligent. They have a great desire to know God, and their personality is very works-minded. And these are the ones that pride themselves in what they do with God. What I mean by that is they count up the amount of time that they pray. If you're counting time with God, if you're just stacking it up so that you can feel like you've done something for Him, He's not impressed. He's not impressed. I have Christians that have said to me many times, oh, I pray this many hours a week. I pray this many hours a week. Listen, if you try to boast that way before God, He's not impressed. He's not. And if you are truly seeking God, you know, at that degree, you would not have to broadcast it to everybody. People will start to do everything. I've seen this as a pastor. You know, people feel, you know, maybe a little helpless with prayer. So what they do, they start volunteering for every little thing they can do. And that becomes their relationship with God. It's like, well, if I serve in this and I do that, and I'll be, you know, I'll be the person that's just available. I'll help and volunteer. Listen, God loves that. But I'm here to tell you that works do not replace fellowship with your Heavenly Father. Right. See, if we're not careful, we start to hide from God, or we work to make up for it in some other way. You cannot make up for it in some other way. All right? He wants us to come in with a new and living way. Go to Ephesians chapter 2. Are you here tonight? Are you ready for the ABCs, everybody? Yes. Here's what you need and I need to know if we're going to have our prayers answered. This is what God is looking for. Did you know that this verse had the ABCs right in it, all in one verse? Go to Ephesians. Go to chapter 3 and verse 12. Here is how God wants you to treat him. This is how he wants you to approach him. Hallelujah. Say, Pastor, well, you sure, you know, you seem confident up there. It almost seems like you're telling us to be arrogant before God. No, absolutely not. I'm here to tell you to be confident in the blood of Christ. Hallelujah. When I pray, I don't have to work my way into God's presence. Oh, I'm going to say some things. Folks, how many of you, as do I, how many of you, you know, sometimes, you might pray, you might put on some worship music or something. You know, you listen to some music when you pray. Praise the Lord. You know, I've done that. That's a great supplement to have. But how many of you know praise and worship music does not put you into the presence of God? You know, just all on its own. You know, Christianity existed for 1,950 years without CDs, without iPods. Do you know what brings you into the presence of God? The blood. And of course, thank God for supplements like praise and worship. And sometimes, you know, that can just help us, you know, or whatever. But what if you're in a place where you don't have your favorite worship CD? I don't need a worship CD to get me into the presence of God. I can go by faith, by the blood of Jesus at any moment, anywhere, anytime. Are you here? Where we can go, right, like even just talking about this just fires up my spirit on the inside. Because I don't have to try to, you know, feel, you know, God's presence. Thank God, though, for the times that it is tangible. But what about the times that you can't feel it? Did God leave you? No, he didn't leave you. Amen. Are you getting a hold of this? He wants us to come into his presence, not because of feelings, not because of emotions, and also not just because we're desperate, not just because, you know, the situation is hard. He wants us to come in with the confidence in the blood. Father, I am here by the blood of Jesus Christ. You want me here. You have made me worthy to stand before your presence. Is everyone getting a hold of this? Look at this. It says in Ephesians 3:12, which is in our New Testament, it says, in whom, in Christ, what do we have in Christ? Boldness, it says. The first one there is boldness. And what? Access. You see it? The second one, access. And with confidence by the faith of Christ. Do you see the ABCs right there in that verse? It was a little bit different order there in the verse, but we're going to go ABC. Are you ready? Here's what the scripture tells us in one verse, what God wants us to know to have our prayers answered. Access, boldness, confidence. Notice nowhere in there does it say, hey, come to him with unworthiness. You'll never see that in the scripture. Never tells you to come whimpering and whining. Listen, things get challenging. Listen, I've been before God many times with tears in my eyes. Don't misunderstand me. Sometimes the emotions pick up on things. But I'm just here to tell you, my tears aren't what move God. It's not. And if I try to tell him how hard my circumstances are, he says, I'm the God of all flesh. Nothing is too hard for me. What is that, Jeremiah 32:17 or 27? Either one of those will work. Jeremiah chapter 32. Where is that? Can you try that for us, brother? Where is it? Jeremiah 32:17? We're going to find it. Yeah, this is. Oh, Lord God, behold, you have made the heaven and the earth with your great power and your stretched out arm, and there's nothing too hard for you. That's a Bible prayer. Not, hey, God, my situation is so hard, I'm not even sure if you can handle it. How about this prayer? There's nothing too hard for you. And then verse 27 tells us he's the God of all flesh. Can you drop down to verse 27? I wasn't planning on preaching on this verse. The Lord speaking says, behold, I'm the God of all flesh. Is there anything too hard for me? There's no sickness too hard for him to heal. There's no marriage that's too hard for him to restore. There is no financial situation that he's unable to provide for. Are you here? This is how God talks, because he wants us to talk like this. Father, I come before you in the blood of Jesus. Nothing is too hard for you. Amen. You've created the earth And all those stars by your great power. Nothing is too hard for you. Amen. Go back to Ephesians 3:12. Let's start right here. Let's just get these ABCs right in a row here. Let's start with access. Access just means what it says what it means. Through Christ, you've been allowed in. Do you see that? You've been allowed in through Christ. So where are we in the eyes of God? We are beyond the veil. We are in His presence. He has already given us access. He will not deny you. Aren't you glad? Access means come on in. Remember the verse over there in John chapter 10? Was it verse 9, was it? Remember when Jesus said, I am the door? Remember when He said, I am the door? So many, you know, Christians, a lot of teaching, you know, going around the body of Christ is very confused about that verse. Like, there's always a lot of controversy about that verse. What does it mean? What did Jesus mean? He said, I am the door. He said, the sheep hear my voice. They will come in and come out and find pasture. How many of you remember that verse? What does it mean that Jesus is the door? He's the access. That's what this verse is saying. We have access to our Heavenly Father through Jesus Christ. Try this verse for me, brother. Try Romans 5:2. Romans 5:2. Try this verse. Romans 5:2. Obadiah, haven't been there for a little while. Praise the Lord. By whom also we have what? Access by faith into this grace wherein we stand, and we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. What do we have? Access. Amen. That means that we're allowed in. The number one thing that we have to believe is that we have access. All right? By faith, I can go into the presence of God whenever I want. I'm there right now. You're there right now. And our flesh and our mind will wrestle that. But the moment I hit my knees and start to pray, I'm in His presence. Man, again, it fires me up on the inside, because this is a great way to meditate if you're wanting to increase your prayer life and have fellowship with God. Access. All right? Amen. I'm not going to have all the time here to go through this, but here's a couple of principles that will help you with access. Here is what we work on as we develop our prayer life. Are you ready? Here's the two principles that will absolutely help you once you're in. And that is sincerity and desire. You know, nowhere in the scripture, when I say this really trips people out. I see so many Christians, they're working on the time they spend in prayer. They're working on, if I could just have more time. I was told that just spend more time. Listen, the goal isn't how much time. The goal is how much sincerity is in it. Is everybody getting a hold of this? God would prefer moments of sincerity than hours of you just trying to stack up time on your watch. Are you here? What does the scripture say over there? You don't need to go there, but what is it? James 5:16? Remember, it says, the sincere, heartfelt prayer of a righteous man makes much power available. Sincerity is what we're after. Our desires count. Glory to God. It isn't how much time is in your prayer. It's how much sincerity is in your prayer. It's how much heart is in your prayer. How much desire is in your time with God. Are you here? Well, everyone's getting quiet in here. Is this some strange doctrine that has entered your ears? No, this is just the word. Praise the Lord. Access. And so, you know, notice it says, I brought up that verse over in Romans 5:2. It says, we have access by faith. What if you don't feel the presence of God? You have faith. Faith doesn't need sight. We walk by faith, not by sight. Faith and feelings are two opposite principles. When I bow my knees, when I go to God, sometimes I'm just sitting in the seat of my truck. Sometimes I'm on my knees in my office. Sometimes I roll out of bed and the first thing I do is just lay before God, regardless of where I am and what it looks like. I'm in His presence right then and there. And when I know that I have access, my faith is alive to know that my prayers are getting heard. And the scripture says, if he hears me, I have the petitions that I have desired of him. Are you here? Do you believe you have access? All right, A, let's go to B. According to Ephesians 3:12, we're supposed to have access and boldness. Boldness. Amen. It takes boldness to believe. Boy, doesn't it take boldness to come before God believing that you deserve to be there? It takes boldness. Can you bring up Hebrews 4:16? We're just going to wrap this up real quick. I am not going to hide from God because I feel unworthy. You know? Boldness is the opposite of feeling unworthy. You probably are wondering, why am I preaching this? Because I see so many Christians are struggling with this. They're struggling to understand, you know, worthiness and how they can come before God's presence. They feel so guilty. They feel down. They feel unqualified. They feel like a failure. They feel like they've missed it and God's tuned them out. No, God has not tuned you out. Are you here? Boldness. Look what it says in Hebrews 4:16. It says, let us therefore come what? Boldly to the throne of grace. Notice it didn't say, let us come sadly. Notice it didn't say, let us come, you know, unworthily to the throne of grace. It says, come on in boldly that you may obtain mercy and what? Find grace to help in the time of need. He wants to help. He wants to answer every prayer. Is anybody getting anything out of this here tonight? Yes. Access. Boldness. Oh, I probably have a few more things to say about that, but time is getting away from us. And then AB, now let's go back, Ephesians 3:12. C, confidence. Oh my goodness. Confidence. A is for access. B is for boldness. C is for confidence. Confidence in who and confidence in what? Confidence in Christ. Confidence in his blood. Amen. Praise the Lord. Now, let's talk about confidence here for just a moment, and then we'll wrap this up right now. Oh, one of the greatest ways that we can have confidence, confidence isn't just a matter of being energetic. You know, it's not just a matter of, you know, oh, feeling good or feeling strong or just, you know what I'm talking about? Confidence comes when we have rest with God. Let me show you this. Brother, we're going to just go through this quick. Bring up Hebrews 4:3. Many Christians never get to the place of rest. Look what it says here in Hebrews 4:3. It says, for we which have believed... Do we have any believers here tonight? Well, believers do enter into what? Rest. As he has said, as I've sworn in my wrath, if they shall enter into my rest, although the works were finished from the foundation of the world. Remember those Jews in the Old Testament? They did not get to enter. Remember, they never got to enter into God's rest. Rest, because remember, because they did not believe God. They did not trust him. They did not believe his word. See, when we enter into faith, when we enter into confidence, it produces a rest in us. Go down to verse 10, could you, brother? Hebrews 4:10. You say, Pastor, you're cooking through this, I know. I'm going to get you over to that meal, and you're going to fellowship and have fun. But I want you to remember the ABCs. Access, boldness, and confidence. For the one that has entered into God's rest. Do we have any believers here tonight? Well, the scripture says you've entered into God's rest. And we should be at that place spiritually where we are completely at rest in God. This is what we must know and understand when it comes to getting our prayers answered. We must come to a place of rest. If we are panicked, it's going to have a hard time. God, you know, if we're always afraid, if we're in panic mode, if we're in fear, how many of you know those things will hinder our prayers? Yes. Fear is a faith hindrance. For he that has believed has entered into God's rest, and the person that enters into God's rest has also ceased from his own works as God did from his. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that amazing? What does this mean? It means that I have to give up a works mentality, because if I just think that the amount of time that I pray or the amount of volunteering that I do is what's going to get me into his company, into his presence, then I'm having confidence in my own works. We must rest in the blood of Christ. When we pray, we have confidence saying, Father, I'm at rest. I'm not going to worry about this anymore. I'm not going to panic about this anymore. I'm not going to be fretful over this anymore. That's what confidence looks like. Confidence is a lack of fear. Are you here tonight? When you get to a place where you can truly cast that thing upon Him, when it's not just because, well, God's going to do it because I volunteer so much, or God's going to do it because I give so much money, or God's going to do it because I had this amount of time of prayer. No, God's going to do it based when we, you know, are in such confidence in Him that we rest. We're not trying to do something just to force God's hand into something. Does that make sense? We can't be going before Him, making these requests, and then being afraid and being panicked. Glory to God. A, we have access. I don't have to work to get into God's presence. The blood of Jesus achieved it for me. Absolutely. I mean, if it's in your car, if it's in your prayer closet, when you fellowship with God, you must believe that you are instantly granted access. Father, I have access. Here I am by the blood of Jesus. Here I am by that name that you have given to me. I boldly declare that, Father, that my sins are washed away. I'm a child of the living God. I believe that every petition I ask you, you hear it and that you grant it. Father, I have complete confidence. I'm resting. I'm not panicking. I'm not afraid of what's going on. And you might have to spend a little time in the presence of God to make sure that you enter into that place of rest or in confidence. A, B, C. Access, boldness, confidence. Did you get something out of this here tonight? Praise the Lord. Stop feeling or acting or confessing how unworthy you are. Folks, I understand that feeling. How many of you have ever dealt with those feelings before? Oh, yeah. Yeah, I mean, all the time. The devil will knock on your brain all the time and tell you, you are low down, you are unworthy. You know, have you ever been there before? You know, and all of a sudden, if you're not careful, you'll start to agree with them. Because if we're unworthy, nothing unworthy is allowed into his presence. But it takes boldness to say, I'm washed by the blood. God loves it. I'm washed by the blood. Here I am, Father. Not on my own accord, but I'm beyond the veil. I have boldness to declare who you said I am. I'm a new creation. I'm washed. I am your son. You have put your name upon me. Lord, you hear me. You live in me. I've got confidence. I don't have to be in fear. I can 100% be at rest. I've cast this upon you, and Lord, you will take care of this. Yes. Folks, when I say this, of course, it would take a lot of time to qualify this statement because it doesn't always happen in our timing. I can't remember something that I've asked God for that has not shown up in my life. And I don't mean material possessions and greediness and stuff like that. I'm just talking about any of the promises of God in here. Anytime I go before God and say, Father, you said. The Bible says he hastens to perform his word. I can't think of anything I've ever asked for that I or my wife and my children needed or whatever that God ever failed to show up. He never fails to show up. He never fails to show up. Amen. Are you here tonight? Amen. Well, let's pray. Father God, we just bless you. We glorify you. Father, you've given us access through the blood of Jesus Christ. Here we are in your presence. If we're not careful, we'll carry a sense of unworthiness. We'll believe that we have to come before you, Father, and tell you how unworthy we are. But what would boldness say? Boldness would say, I have been cleansed by the blood of the Lamb. Father, you have made me to stand before your presence with confidence. You have washed me, you have cleansed me. Father, I pray that this revelation would come alive into the hearts of everyone here tonight, not saying that it isn't. Lord, we're never unwanted. Never unwanted. No matter how many people reject us, you still want us. No matter our faults or our personality conflicts, you still want us. Father, even when we fail or even if we sin and we confess our sins before you, you want us. You have redeemed us by the blood of the Lamb. Father, therefore, you're our great provider. You're our healer. No good thing will you withhold from those that walk uprightly. You are so faithful and good. You told us to come boldly, declare who we are. Have confidence, be at rest, knowing that God has heard your prayers, knowing that heaven is working, knowing that you can trust and rely and your Father will show up at the right time. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. You are so faithful. Father, you're faithful to every individual, every family in this place. You are faithful to this church. You are faithful to those that will call upon your name. Lord, you are the God of all flesh. Nothing is too hard for you. Father, you have created the heavens and the earth by your stretched out arm and your great power. Nothing is too hard for you. Thank you, Lord. We give you the praise and all the glory. And with all eyes closed here, before we dismiss, before we head on over and grab some food, have you made Jesus Christ the Lord of your life? The Bible says in Romans 10:9, that if you'll confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, if you'll believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. Ask yourself that question right there in your heart. Right there in your conscience, ask yourself this question. Is Jesus my Lord and Savior? Have I personally invited him into my life? Have I turned to Christ, turned from sin, and committed my life to God? If you're here tonight and you're not sure about that answer, if the answer is no, or maybe it's I don't know, get the answer here right tonight. Don't leave this building until you've made Jesus your Lord and Savior. Eyes are closed, heads are bowed. I'm not going to make you stand up. I'm not going to walk up to you. I'm not going to call you down front. But if you're here tonight and you say, Pastor, that's me. I need Jesus as my Lord and Savior. I need to be saved. I need my sins to be washed. I'm simply going to ask you to lift your hand. Once I see your hand, I'll have you put it right back down. And then I'll lead the entire congregation in a prayer. And right there in your seat, you can pray and make Jesus the Lord of your life. He'll hear you. He'll welcome you in. He'll give you that access. He'll give you that boldness and that confidence to know God, to know that God's moving on your behalf. If that's you here tonight, could you just lift your hand real quick? Take that step towards God. Is there anybody? Just lift your hand high enough that I could see it. Maybe I see that hand. Thank you. You can put it down. You can put that hand down. It's wonderful to see, you know, new folks coming to the Lord. Is there anybody else? Maybe you're here tonight and you say, Pastor, I am a Christian. And I've walked away from God and I know I need to come on back. I need to get that confidence back. I need to, you know, just rededicate my life to the Lord. I want to confess. Maybe you need to confess something. Of course, you won't need to do that publicly here tonight. But you just need to rededicate your life to the Lord. You are a Christian. You know that you're a Christian. But you just need to get back in that relationship with your Heavenly Father. If that's you, could you lift your hand now? If you need to rededicate, I see several hands. I see several hands. You can put them down. God loves you. God loves you. Well, we had several hands here tonight. Let's all pray this prayer together. God loves you. He's not saying stay away. He's saying come on in. He's not saying you're unworthy. He's saying through the blood of Jesus Christ, you are worthy. Glory to God. Let's all go ahead and pray this prayer together. If you lifted your hand, speak these words out of your mouth. Pray them to God. We'll all be praying with you. Everyone pray this with me. Say, Dear Heavenly Father, I believe that Jesus Christ is Lord. I believe in my heart that you raised him from the dead so that I could be saved. Lord Jesus, wash me, cleanse me, forgive me of my sins. Be my Lord and Savior all the days of my life. I will serve you. I will obey you. And I dedicate my life to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Did you get some help here tonight? Praise the Lord. It's wonderful to see, you know, some fresh faces, you know, come in and they respond. The greatest thing that can ever happen in our presence is to see someone come to Christ for the first time. Amen. Well, let's go ahead. Let's stand to our feet. We're going to go right on over. We've got a meal over there. And also, we're going to line you up and get you, you know, all ready for that. Let's go ahead. Let's pray for the food. And we certainly